Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful to each of you who have joined us for the last, now soon to be, 10 months. It is September 30th, 2021, the very last day of the ninth month of this year. It's a year of transition, with all hopes back into normalcy. But nonetheless, time has moved on, and believe it or not, it looks like we were just in January 2021. But here we are. Grateful for our listening audience here who's been with us for the last 5 years now, going on 5 years now, coming up on. And we're grateful again that you've joined us. Hope that you join us tonight. 657-383-0944. That is the number to call into the studio in order to engage in live substantive dialogue with us tonight. Grateful for all of our listening audience out of the Peoria, Illinois area, Selma, Alabama, the St. Louis, Missouri area, Chicago, Illinois, for those who call as far as New Orleans and Texas and Michigan, those who have joined us from Indiana, others from Virginia and Pennsylvania and Ohio. Grateful for all of you. And we welcome everyone all over. I dare not forget to mention Canada. We're grateful for all of you that have joined us from various places. California, New York. We've had calls from New York over our span of time. We encourage you to call us a national dialogue, 657-383-0944. Talk Straight began as a platform of discussion to come up with some real solutions for issues that plague young people and families in urban American cities, neighborhoods, communities. I think we've come up with some decent things. We strive to have guests on to offer perspectives, perhaps suggestions and ideas, and we've enjoyed them. I certainly have learned from them. I hope you, our listening audience, have taken something productive away from those discussions. And we strive to continue that. As we progress here, we hope to be able to have a little bit more flavor, and we will likely be continuing some things, but doing a few things different. But we'll be speaking of that more in the coming days. Typically, we air Tuesday nights from 7 to 9, unless we have abbreviated show, 7 to 8:30, Thursdays from 7 to 9, and sometimes 7 to 8:30, depending on how things go. All right? But nonetheless, you're with us now. So for the next hour and a half to 2 hours, we invite you to join us and share your comments. We don't mind you sharing your opinions, your position on the various topics that we take. That is perfectly fine. In fact, we welcome them. The only thing I would ask that you do is to be courteous and respectful to the opinions of others, even those that you don't share an opinion with, okay, or share an agreement with that opinion. Listen to it, and let's walk it out. As your host and facilitator, I have strived, and we continue to do so, to make sure that everyone is heard in a respectful way, and that we can take the information we hear and put it where it needs to be. The thing I like about it is we're all adults. We can do what we have to do there. All right. A characteristic of social pressure for the sake of compliance has historically involved the control of people's thoughts and their actions. You've heard the slogan, been said that a mind is a terrible thing to waste, and indeed it is. Too often, they're bright, witty, and potentially productive minds are stifled, beloved, by the influences of negative and unproductive environments in individuals. Perhaps there is a need for a greater focus on building minds of young people, and I dare not say some old folk too, so that they have the best chance of reaching success in America. Over the years, we've talked a lot about the challenges, the threats, and the concerns that young people have voiced from the system and from various places and positions of influence in the system. Okay? And that's good. That's fair bait. That's fair conversation. All right? However, we must realize that if our young people are going to survive and be productive and be able to sustain themselves, even after we're gone, parents, that we have to instill in them the principles, the knowledge, and the foundation to stand on their own 2 feet. Yes, indeed. Join me tonight as we discuss the need to control one's own mind. Our topic, have an open mind, your brain and your head. That's what we're talking about tonight. That's our topic tonight. That's our topic tonight. Yeah. We want you to have an open mind. Absolutely. Be open to others' thoughts and ideas, and at least for whatever time is reasonable, consider it. But keep your brain in your head. Sometimes people are so busy trying to follow other folk and their ideas and their thoughts that their brain is just wide open, and you trip over your head, your brain fall out your head. So you're trying to open up your mind so much. There's a place and a time for that. All right? Again, it's September 30th, 2021. Listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor. We're going to get through our monologue. If you're a new caller, brand new caller, let me explain that the format of the show has been and continue to be that we start with a monologue from yours truly, the host, where we offer some information that serves as a point of reference or context for our discussion. And tonight that topic is have an open mind, but keep your brain in your head. So we provide some context for that so that, because we hear from people from different places, different experience, and this will always bring us back to a central point, right? So our listening audience, even those who are not calling in and you're hearing their voice, we can all be on the same sheet of music, okay? And we use scriptural text. Some people don't like that. That's okay. I love you, and I respect that. If you're not comfortable with that, and in that case, then I understand, and we want you to know that ahead of time. You can make the choice that, hey, that's not a discussion I want to be a part of. As much as I love to hear from you and see you, I understand and I respect that. From time to time, we use religious or what's called secular music, jazz, rhythm and blues, some gospel, you understand? A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Why do you do that? Well, we do that as a pneumatic device to emphasize children's thoughts, ideas, and points. Interestingly enough, some of the artists that we've played haven't panned out to be the best of character. Interestingly enough, though, their work, their body of work, has left a tremendous effect on many people, right? We typically steer away from embracing one particular political philosophy while we talk about it. What we say is that we talk about a little bit of this and a little bit of that, politics, education, religion, right? But, we respect everyone's position and right to have their own political views. And so what we do is speak in general terms. But tonight we're going to talk about having an open mind and keeping your brain in your head. What we're talking about tonight. All right, so let's get into it. When we talk about cognitive faculties, it includes things like your consciousness, right? Your imagination, your perception of things, ability to pick up a judgment, even your speech, your language, and your memory. When these things are intact, you can see some stableness in an individual. And oftentimes, if you listen to them for a few seconds, you can kind of tell where someone's mind is, where their cognitive faculties are, if they're intact or not. Now, all of these are housed in the brain. So there's another head there, right? Which sometimes include your central nervous system. The brain, if you consider it, is like a big computer. Big old computer. Have a lot of processes and ideas and things that are moving through it and at a rapid pace. It has the ability to sort out information that it receives from various sensors, dendrites, and axons in the body, right? Send messages and the synapses, as they call it. I'm not getting into all that. But these messages are sent back and forth from various parts of the body to the brain. The brain responds, and it triggers another response. While the brain functions like a machine, right, it's capable of far much more. The human brain has the ability to reason deductively and inductively. And from that, they're able to avoid repeating certain traumatic experiences based on their ability to reason and learn from them and avoid repeating those things, unlike lower forms of animals, right, that didn't have that level of cognitive ability. Their faculties are a little different. Now, some animals are said to be very smart. They're very intelligent. I'm not saying that that's not the case, but I'm speaking in general. What distinguishes human beings, Homo sapiens, from other lower forms of animals? We're all animals. Yeah, you're an animal. I'm an animal. I'm a good-looking animal, though. Let's get that straight. Is our ability to reason, okay? I want to talk just for a second about some basic functions of the brain, right, as I was alluding to earlier. I focus on these because particularly young people should understand that when you are out in the public sector, the public sphere, right, and you are behaving in a certain way, so you may be all right. And you may think nobody should question that, right? And you may be of opinion that you got a right to behave like you want to, and people shouldn't say nothing about it. But what we say, what we do, how we dress, how we present ourselves, before we open our mouths, it speaks loudly about where our mind is. You understand? Have an open mind, but keep your brain in your head. Okay, don't go crazy on it. Don't go crazy. Now, let me just talk about a few functions of the brain. The brain is responsible for our attention and the ability to concentrate, to stay focused on a task. In school, at work, in other social settings, at home. In general, the brain is responsible for our ability to monitor ourselves and to assess us, to look and say, uh-oh, I didn't drip, my hand messed up, my face, You understand what I'm saying? I need to do something with myself. That's the brain. That's the brain. That's the brain. Our ability to be organized. Now, there are people who, believe it or not, you see, are challenged. And it makes you wonder about what's going on in their head. You understand? But the brain is responsible for these different regions of the brain. The ability to speak, how we express ourselves, how we form words and decide the use of certain words and avoid the use of others. Your brain. Motor skills, your ability to move and plan and act, right, and initiate steps or movement. Your brain. Your ability to be aware and to know when you should stop, when you should go, when there's danger, when there's not danger. You understand? Our personality, our whole persona, and that's what people comes to know us by, our character. Yeah. The ability to be mentally flexible. Everything is not going to go like you want it. Sometimes you may face some challenges, some hard times, but guess what? With a healthy mind, you can deal with them. You don't get the best of them, right? And our ability, our behavior in general. Now, we some shows ago talked about how you measure learning. And I shared with you that learning is measured by a change in one's behavior after they've been exposed to information and they've been through a certain experience. You know they've learned something when you can see the choices they make have changed. The behavioral expressions have changed. Are you with me? All right. Now, why do you bring that up, Doctor? Simply because it appears as though they're not just young people, beloved, but there's some chronologically grown folk who we often assume have matured to a point where they understand certain things. They understand why not to do certain things or to engage certain behaviors. But when you look at their actions, and you look at their responses, and you look at their overall character and reputation, you have to ask the question, what's going on upstairs? Why don't they know any better, right? A baby, if you leave it up to a baby, it will only please its appetite for things that make it feel good, squeaks or foods that soothe it, right? A little toddler, a little child. But an adult understands that at some point you can't just eat everything you like. I need some things that are healthy for you, right? So we find ways to season our food. You understand what I'm saying? Experience helps us with that. When you start seeing someone that is beyond 18 and 19 years old and they don't have a clue about these things, society expects that they're able, they're 18, so you of the what's considered to be the age of consent, right? So you're able to reason what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. When you're 21 in most states, you are the legal age. I think Alabama is probably one of the only ones where 19 is the legal age. But my point is that there's a mixed social expectation. And it's abnormal for people of the chronological age to behave in a way that is socially unacceptable. When folk can't understand that. They don't see anything wrong with what they're doing. It makes you question. And oftentimes, it's because of peer pressure in society. It starts at an early age in school and other settings. And it can extend itself to adulthood, where you feel like you got to be so open-minded that you got to let everything and everybody else dictate to you what you ought to be doing. Why do you do that? Why do people do that? So that they can be affirmed. They can be validated by their peers or individuals they interact with in these various social settings. I like to refer to it as groupthink. Sometimes groupthink is useful, but it can be very dangerous when individuals lack the ability to use their own brain, their own cognitive faculties, make decisions for themselves and do what is appropriate with, toward, and among others. Are you with me? Are you with me? All right. All right. So let's move on. Let's consider that about three things or impact, if you will, that shape people's mind as they grow up and they develop and their perspective, their outlook on things, right? And they have a tremendous influence on their mindset and the positions that they take, the conditions of their minds, right? And I want to speak about the social environment and its impact on individual character, right? When we look at and we make observations of how people interact and what triggers their interaction or what suppresses them, what kind of fears do they have socially? That says something. This is germane to where we are in the United States of America today. We're in a rather interesting time relative to social interaction. And oddly enough, it hadn't been a long period of time that the influence or the major factors of influence have been at play. Good people. You used to be able to look at and smile, and you used to be able to have a decent conversation, but now are many, not everybody, but many are apprehensive about even engaging with folks. Devices, face coverings, things of that nature have become an indication of whether you're friendly or not friendly. I'm hopeful that we're going to get past that and that as a society we will be able to be unified. Or at least play like you're unified anyway. That was the time people put on a good show, at least anyway. But hopefully we'll get there. So in addition to social interaction, I want to talk about the environment around us, the physical environment, and then one's physical health as it relates to how people come to embrace you. Before I get into those other three things, I want to say that behavioral scientists suggest that now when we talk about maturity and expectations of mature thought and action, you have to really look at the brain itself. I'm talking about keeping your brain in your head. At one point in time, it's around 18, 19 years old, that it was suggested the brain has fully matured, but now there's a more emerging science in the recent years, the last 10 years or better, I want to say, that suggests that in even a young adult, chronological adult, the brain is not fully mature, has the ability to make distinction between right and wrong and to decide what's good and what's bad, right, and what's profitable, what is not. What is moral, what is immoral, until around 25 years old. The interesting thing, though, is that we have in our society a push by some to legalize certain controlled substances that has been proven to have a negative impact on the brain, on the body. Let me get to it. Let's first talk about social interaction. I'm old enough to remember when in order to be hip, to be cool, to be in, to be able to keep up with everybody else in the playground and around where you live, you understand, y'all know I grew up in the housing projects of Chicago. And there are a lot of people that were forced to, children. The playground was one place that was central. And all those people flushed themselves down stairs, many floors or levels. And there's a few places they can go to play, unless they walked off somewhere else. And that was right there in the playground. So it became real packed. Oftentimes there was no supervision. So they took social cues from everybody else. Usually the person that was the biggest, the baddest, and made the most noise out there was the one that everybody kind of gave credence to and tipped to. See, what are you saying, Doctor? I'm saying that the first introduction to cigarettes and to things like marijuana came from those type of social interactions. Nobody want to be called or look like a square. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all old enough know what I'm talking about. So what you do is you mimic what you see other people doing. And the more you do that, they say, oh, you cool. You all right. You straight, man. You see what I'm saying? These social interactions. Versus you being around an individual who value respect, speaking in formal registry, education, other types of social interaction, going to the museum and learn about various cultures. That's a whole other perspective, right? Well, in that environment, they have disdain for using drinking beer and smoking cigarettes and using marijuana, any other type of substance. And by the way, marijuana has always been known to be the gateway to more illicit drugs. If I can convince you to do that, I can convince you to try almost anything else. And all it takes is one hit, and that does it for you. You understand what I'm saying? That speaks to the next area, which is the environment. What sort of environment from birth to adulthood do we find ourselves in? What do we learn from that environment? Who's in that environment? What impact do they have on the shaping of our character, our morals and things of that nature. You understand what I'm saying? Now, what some researchers suggest is that given your environment, you can kind of affect the mood of people by the level of light that's in the room, artificial or sunlight. And interestingly enough, if you ever went to the club, very rarely do you see bright lights in the club where everybody can see each other. Some of y'all ain't never been to the club, you understand. But in the club, typically, there's either a dazzling light that is low in beam and is relatively dark, and it provides cover for a lot of behaviors that folk likely ain't got no business engaging in. I wish I had a witness. You with me? So what are you saying, Doctor? I'm saying that these type of environments versus a place where you're around individuals who often are conduct themselves in a certain way and who encourage one another to behave in productive ways, right? These dark settings where you stay all by yourself at home alone, it has a tendency to affect levels of depression and agitation. Make you lethargic, want to sleep, and things of that nature. You understand what I'm saying? So what I'm telling you is that depending on the type of environment that you're in, it has a tremendous impact and influence on how you respond to other people. During COVID, the encouragement was for people to stay at home. Well, as they stay at home, what were they doing? Many people are turning to media, to their phones, to television, and other gadgets and what have you, to keep them entertained. Less interaction socially with their peers in terms of communication and other physical interaction. And this basically led to their finding now a lot of depressive episodes and behavior. More young people have either expressed suicidal ideation or have literally attempted, and sadly too many have been successful at their attempts. Yeah, have an open mind, but keep your brain in your head. This physical effect that the foods we eat, I'm guilty. I have to often watch what I eat because I have to manage my weight and things of that nature, right? Got to manage my blood pressure and things of that nature. I understand what you're saying. But it can affect our physical health, right? How much sleep you get or don't get, right? In a 24-hour period, all week, 7 days a week, right? It affects us, you know? What are we consuming, taking in and out? Now, I know that there's no law against smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol and things of that nature. So as a legal adult, consenting adult, you're free to do it. But just because you can doesn't mean it's good for you. That's all I'm trying to say. That's all I'm trying to say to you, beloved. You understand what I'm saying? Now, have an open mind. Folk will encourage you to say, even right now, this battle between who is right and who's wrong has a lot to do with, you know, things like the choice of following the norm in society that is expressed by the major media, right? This idea that if you are black, you should be behaving and responding to certain circumstances in society in a particular way. If you're white, you are expected or assumed to behave in a certain way. And really what it does is it confuses everybody, and it stands in the way of being able to work, communicate, and engage and do anything productive or positive. The last thing I would argue young folk need is any distractions from developing their cognitive faculties, their mind, and building a future for themselves so that they can answer the question 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what will you have produced for yourself? Where would you be? See, with all these things, they're merely distractions from them being able to be in charge of their lives. Yes, we want them to have an open mind. Absolutely, we do. We want them to be able to be considerate. We want to be compassionate. But at the same time, don't lose your brain. Keep your brain intact. I told you what the brain does for us. And you can just about tell where somebody is based on their actions and behavior. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes there are situations where the dysfunctionality of the brain, right? Some of the chemical functions are not right. They're imbalanced. If you don't sleep enough, you throw off your brain chemistry. And you become agitated and irritable. Are you with me? If you drink certain substances, it can affect the various areas and functions of the brain. You can drink too much water. Can you believe that? Too much water could throw your electrolytes off. Orange juice. Now, these are things that typically we're taught that are healthy for. You understand? Have an open mind, but keep your brain in your head. Don't let nobody have your brain. Be open to hearing what they have to say, what they're talking about, but don't let nobody else have your brain. Control your own brain. That's yours. God gave it to you. And meant for you to use it. And meant for you to use it. So we're going to open up our phone line in just a second, but I called up these brothers out of New Orleans. They call themselves the Soul Rebels. Soul Rebels. They have a great song, and if you go to some of the Southern Classic among the HBCUs, you oftentimes hear these songs played. Southern, particularly, Southern University and Grambling down there, and TSU and Jackson State, they battle these songs here. But they said something that was key here. 657-383-0944. That's the number called. You listen to Talk Straight. We're going to get right into it. Let your mind be free. By the Soul Rebel. Listen to him just for a second. Phone line. Look, put your mask. Don't steal for recreation. free your mind with education. And ain't nothing wrong with that, is it, Pastor Wallace? It ain't wrong with that, Pastor.
I don't think that's wrong with that. That might be what you need.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, we got St. Louis on with us. St. Louis, you don't see anything wrong with setting your mind free with education and feeding it with positive, proactive things. Yeah, you don't see nothing wrong with that, do you?
No. Sounds like a good idea.
Okay. Our topic, gentlemen, is have an open mind, but keep your brain in your head. Sometimes, gentlemen, I it seems to me in my interaction and conversation with folks that there's this notion that in order for you to demonstrate that you're open-minded, that you're flexible with other people, you got to basically hang your brain up at the door when you come in certain places. You can't think for yourself, because if you don't line up with the group and everybody else, look here, man, you're a problem, and we're going to have to deal with you. Y'all talk to me about that. Y'all help me with that like I'm 3 years old. Any one of y'all, help me with that. Come on, St. Louis. What about it, man? Is that a good thing for me to hang my brain up at the door so I can get along with everybody else?
Yeah, it depends on what you're going to be talking about.
Okay. It depends. So even if Pastor Waller, and we see this a lot of times in churches, Pastor, the expectation is if you say you love the Lord and you love God, that you're supposed to automatically line up with certain behaviors and thoughts. And this should be universal among every congregation of people. Is that real, Pastor? Is everybody on the same sheet of music in different churches all over the country?
I don't know about them all. I can't speak for them all. I know that. But I can say it's a beautiful thing to get free, because the Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Make you free. All right.
The word say that, but that's what the word of God said. I mean, that's what
okay.
I so okay. I used to be bound, and I was not free. So I got that from the word of God. I didn't get that from the world.
I see. Yeah. But now, I'm sorry, go ahead, finish. I apologize. I cut you off.
No, I'm good. I'm done.
No, but so what I'm speaking of more specifically is, for instance, there's this notion that if you say you love the Lord, you're not supposed to challenge people that come with all sorts of ideas that suggest because you are a Christian, you're not supposed to question folks. Let me give you a good example. Like, sometimes people don't think they're supposed to question folks who say we should just do what we're used to doing in churches. We're not supposed to go out there, try to help nobody else and try to uplift anybody, try to educate them and free their mind. Because if they don't come in here, they don't want it. If they don't want it in here, they just they doomed, Pastor. That seems to be a common mindset. I hope it's going away. But has that been your experience, where folk feel like if you don't do the way we do here in this church, you understand, something wrong with you?
No, that hasn't been my experience like that, Pastor. I don't recall. I just know that I learned some things that I didn't know, and I started to apply.
Okay.
So I can only say that I haven't had the knowledge of all the people that's in the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, they didn't go in the building, they got free.
Okay.
You know, without even being in the building. So I know that
mm-hmm.
I found you have to be in the building to get connected with him.
Okay.
Yeah,
All right. Well, so let me speak to it this way. I was talking in the monologue about basic functions of the brain. right? And people say, why you say something wrong with me? Because those of us who understand historically and in the universal normal sense, no matter where you are in the world, that if you're talking and your conversation is racing all over the place, 5, 10, 15 different things, that kind of tells us something about your attention span and your ability to concentrate on one thought. Y'all just follow me for a second because I'm going to ask y'all a question. And you're amongst other people and you're having conversation or interaction, and you're not able to really monitor whether or not you're talking too much or you're dominating the conversation or you're overstepping your bounds, for instance. These are things that regions of the brain control. And what makes individuals assume that maybe something is wrong, what's wrong with you, okay, man, is when you are among other people and you're chronologically grown and it's expected that you have matured and adapted socially and you display these behaviors, this inability to concentrate, to monitor yourself, and to be organized in your action and your thought, right, when you speak. St. Louis, does that? Now, I'm not trying to psychoanalyze anyone. I don't want to give that impression. But in a normal sense, have you seen where that's the case, St. Louis, where individuals can't stay on a rational thought, a rational place?
Not only that, what they're talking about is not rational.
Okay. Okay.
Worse yet.
Okay.
See, mm-hmm. Blacks have been conditioned, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, a whole lot of them. In this last election, 88% of those that voted for Joe Biden. Now, they had to be conditioned to do that. Joe Biden is the picture of the ultimate racism all through his career. They was conditioned to hate Donald Trump. Donald Trump ain't never been no racist. Where? Prove me. Where? Show me where. He haven't. But no, they was conditioned. Huh?
I see. I was just going to ask you, is it fair to say that at least, even if he were, I'm not saying he was, but even if he was, we don't have a record of his behavior in the public because he was not a career politician as Joe Biden was. And those of us that are old enough to know him and know his record know that he has aligned himself with quite a few things that are considered to be racist.
Not only he aligned himself, but he said things and done things. And he said some as recently as during the election. But blacks voted for it because they was conditioned to vote for him by other blacks. That guy from out of South Carolina, I can't think of his name, the congressman.
Which one? Tim Scott, you mean?
No, not Scott. The black, the other one. They brought him to the church.
What's his name? I know who you're talking about. I want to say Burns, somebody. Clyburn.
Clyburn, yes.
Okay.
Yes, because Clyburn took him to the church because they outshot him. And so, see, blacks are conditioned to do that, and that's what they do.
When you say
now,
that now, you're not talking about everybody, right? You're talking about many people.
No, I said in the beginning, I said it's not all, because you hear me talking against that. So it couldn't be all.
Okay, go ahead.
So that is the fact. Look what happened to those that said they did support him. They was castigated. Steve Harvey, Candace Owen, a whole room full of young black college students who came to the White House for a Black History event. It was castigated. So they are conditioned. And I'm going to say a lot of them get that conditioning in church.
Okay.
See, they get that conditioning in church because church leads them and teaches them about the ultimate experience. Be not in the world, but of the world or something like that. So their expectation is going to heaven. when all this is by and by.
Now, that's interesting you say that, because that was the text that I read tonight. That was my text. Watch what it says. And I want to, if you don't mind, let me reiterate that, because I see what you're saying, but I want to try to make a distinction here. Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says this, and be not conformed, of this world, but be transformed by the renewing, watch this, of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I don't suggest that some of these things that folk have been using churches for politically is good, acceptable, and profitable, right? But the truth of the matter is, I agree with you that too often folk allow themselves, again, to be so open-minded religiously that they don't really consider all of the real facts in matters. You see what I mean?
Well, absolutely. There is a great deal part of it. Then when you have blacks, like I guess in the guy you're naming, who goes against that, typically they align based on the political platforms, which they consider to be conservative, and the conservation of the Bill of Rights, the conservation of the Constitution, the conservation of your income, and not to spend it sparingly. The conservation of immigration, because that brings about competition, especially at the lowest level. Haitians that's coming in here in this country, they not going to compete against your son. Who would they be competing against? There's no way in the world they going to compete against your son for at least another 40 years. Well, so in the meantime, who are they going to be competing? Who will they be competing against? They're going to be competing against those at the bottom.
When you say at the bottom, you say that respectfully, right? You don't mean to demean anybody by saying that. You're just saying that individuals who, like right now, we have a gap between people qualifying to fill certain meaningful positions that pay a certain wage. Is that what you're talking about, St. Louis?
Well, people can take it like it is, but once you look around and see what you see, then you begin to realize it yourself.
I get what you're saying.
No matter what the reason, because some people always have the ability to apply something which really is an excuse to a particular circumstance. Well, it rained that day. Well, the cows ran away. Well, the whites on the other side of the track turned off the water. They always got something. But no matter what the excuse is, the facts are, the reality is what they are, what it is.
I'll go back to one of the functions of the brain, and that is it is responsible for our ability to be organized. If you know you have a task at hand, the responsible thing is to ask yourself, what will it take for me to be to complete the task? Right? And what apparatus will help me do it most efficiently? So you organize yourself. You plan. You see what I'm saying? And when we encourage people that it's okay for you not to be held accountable, I'm reading where certain places are suggesting certain things in the curriculum should be taken out because they're unfair to African Americans or minorities, because it challenges them mentally. It challenges them mentally to be accountable to do math and to apply logical processing and things of that nature. And that's what I mean when I say have an open mind. Consider what people are saying, but don't let nobody have your brain. Keep your brain in your head. Don't give them your
brain.
Well,
see, here's the thing. You're absolutely right. There are movements to do just that. Someplace up there in the northwest, there's one state where they want to do away with math, saying it's discriminating against blacks.
Right.
And blacks will go along with that. They will.
Well, see, here's the thing. The body naturally is going to want to be soothed, comfort, and pleasured.
Sure.
And if it had a choice between studying hard, like your son, then the body is going to choose just the opposite. Unless you got something that's going to steer them, that's going to hold them accountable, and basically put a foot up their butt.
Well, now, can I say this, St. Louis? I hear what you're saying. That seems to be. Now, even when I taught high school, I had the pleasure, man, of having some young folks that seemed to have a thirst for knowledge. Their problem was the constant distraction. They came there really interested and fired up about, you know, learning and what have you. It was just too many other distractions for them, that's all. And it frustrated them to the point.
In the classroom?
In the classroom. And
all right, well, I got an answer for that, too. It gets back to your politics. Your politics won't let them kids go. They keep them there because they know that they're going to be limited in what they can achieve because of those distractions. The politics won't let them go. It's like Moses going to Pharaoh. That's exactly what it is. It's a correlation. The parents were treated the same way. Therefore, the parents is in what socioeconomic class? They at the bottom.
I see.
Even though they know better. They know that what's going on to their children is wrong. They knew what went on with them. But they don't have the means to go out on themselves.
Great point.
So
great point.
The logical thing would be is for that parent to be able to leave, but the politics won't let them go because the politics make money off of them.
Well, then there is certain conditioning because I'll tell you, and I'm speaking from experience, there were individuals representing the school system that I worked for who would literally go to low-income areas and tell parents that if you allow your child to be classified to be basically go through the ranks to become special ed, you could possibly get additional money for them, right?
Yeah, crazy check.
Well, don't call it that, St. Louis.
Well, that's what it is. It's a crazy check. What they do is classifying your child as being inept, classifying your child as being inability. Other words, there's something wrong with them.
They're saying, right, what they're saying is as a special ed student that you require additional help, right, and that you're incapable of keeping up on a normal level with those normal functions and practices of the brain. That's what they're saying, and I hear what you're saying. But let's not call it crazy.
And they got to take some Ritalin, right?
Well, a lot of times they were prescribing medicine, and I was totally opposed to that. Totally opposed to that.
Well, you know what else, too? The U.S. military will not let you become a enlistee if you ever been on Ritalin.
Okay. Again, that's...
And I thought you go to the military to learn how to kill. Yeah, if when you're on Ritalin, it'll be uncontrollable. You might end up killing the sergeant or something.
Well, I tell you, man, that's amazing. And to the point of our discussion here tonight, I'm all for looking at this present moment in society, things that people want to improve, they want to correct. I don't think people in authority, government authority, should use their bill. Police officers should not be using excessive force. Teachers should not be overbearing school districts, things of that nature. We should be open to what works, right? But at some point, even the medicine, we should be open to considering what is being said about suggestions to make sure everybody's healthy. We should. We really should.
No, you should be open to.
Hold on one second. At the same time, though, Lewis, you should maintain control of your own brain and ability to reason. And
well,
so,
they don't. Their brain is up to the highest bidder. But you know what you should be open to? You should be open to coming to terms and seeing things like it really is.
Okay.
Because if you don't, what you're doing is denying, evading, and lying to yourself. And the ultimate outcome on that, either you're going to cry from coming to terms, or you're going to cry when it finally hits you down the road.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Let me go to Pastor Wall. Pastor Wall, I remember growing up when do y'all remember Underdog? There was a cartoon character called Underdog. Did they show that in y'all area? Either one of y'all remember Underdog?
Yeah, I remember Underdog.
Okay. Underdog. Pastor, you never see Underdog. Bro.
Yeah, I was just aware of that. When you said it, I'm trying to make sure that I remember that. But sometimes, when I look back over my life, I get a chance to remember a few things. But that was one. That sounded like a cartoon, right?
Yeah, it was. It was a cartoon. I'm going to tell you why I brought
I
remember because we grew up in the housing area, and we saw a lot of things that probably didn't need to be, right? And I can remember Underdog is simple to his character was, he had a rough life himself, right? And he took his superpowers to protect underdogs, those that were without St. Louis. And I was able to relate to that, man. I'm like, man, I like Underdog because he's like Robin Hood, man. He's looking out for folks. He's hooking people up, right? Well, that's why I grab. Now, here's the thing, though. If we take the character of Underdog in 2021, I'm concerned, Pastor, that it may give some people the wrong impression. Because I don't want you to take up for me when I'm wrong. But if you know I'm wrong, you, my brother, you care about me, correct me, and set me straight, right? What the OJ was talking about when he said, don't call me brother if you don't really mean it. You see what I'm saying, Brother?
Yeah. That's what he said.
Talk to me about that, Pastor. If we see that not necessarily we're bad people, we just made a mistake or going down the wrong path, shouldn't we correct one another, even though we're for the low man, Pastor?
Well, I was going to say something because, you brought up something earlier, then I'll get back to that in just a second.
Remember,
you not long ago, you read something from the Bible. It has to do with, I beseech you that, brother, by the mercies of God. You said something like that. Is that right?
That
you present
right.
your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then you mentioned the word holy. you mentioned that, right?
Just
knowing that right there, I haven't heard anything about anything that you mentioned right there, so I want to kind of come back and make known of that, because the scripture said that. That wasn't none of your opinion.
No, I didn't write.
Right? Okay, so that wasn't your opinion.
That's right.
And the truth
is
the only thing going to make us free. Opinions is not going to do us any good as far as what my learning is. And see, what happened, being holy don't have nothing to do with how much money you have or how broke you are.
What? Wait a minute now. Hold on now.
Who was your parents? Holy don't have nothing to do with none of that.
What?
Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your. It says you have to prove this, the reasonable service, and then he says, and be not conformed to this world. Is that what the word says?
Mm. That's the second verse.
Be not conformed. Now, be not shaped up. So you got smart people, rich people, conformed to this world.
Yeah.
You got ignorant. Yeah. You got what they call dumb. You got people illiterate, take all this kind of medicine, and you got those that don't take medicine, but they don't know. They don't care nothing about God. Did you not say that?
Oh, no.
And be conformed to this world. I mean, this is what I'm going on the scripture now that you just read, but I heard nothing about that. That's what I think I want to get right there, because I want to ask you, did you read that for a purpose, or did you just read that just to say, I'm going to read the scripture, or do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because that's for only ready people.
Okay.
Ready people are going to be ready for that. If you're not ready,
I
you can't handle nothing like that, because it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
If your mind is not renewed, that means you're not free. Not talking about me now. Because I used to trust me. I used to trust me to the utmost. But I discovered something about that. Trusting me didn't get me free. And I had a lot of money. A whole lot of money.
I saw that.
And I got it constantly. But I'm saying all this to say it has nothing to do with how much money, how smart you are, who your parents are, where you came from. The word says prove that you'll be a certain way. Prove this. So let's just say a person that don't have no money, broke, out of their mind, because that's what you got to do. First, lose your mind before you can find it, according to what I heard, because I sure lost my mind. I didn't have no sense. But I told the scripture says that I can lose my mind, I would find it. Okay, I found it. Now I understand how I found it. I was renewed, you know what I mean, because my mind was just everywhere. So what I'm saying is this, man. To not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, man, that right there all by itself says a lot about people who trust in themselves, because they're going to go to the extreme with their opinions. They're not going to stand on the word of God, because you brought it out. You said, and I just want to make sure that I'm getting that right, when you said, and be not conformed to this world.
That's what the text
says. Or did it say if you got money? Or did it say if you
poor? It didn't stipulate that, sir.
You didn't say you can be holy if you got money.
It didn't stipulate that.
You can be holy if you don't have money. It didn't do that, right?
No.
Okay. So I'm just trying to find out, do broke people qualify to be holy?
Yeah, they do.
And also, do rich people qualify to be holy?
But
if you conform to this world, whether you're rich or poor, you don't even qualify, because you're not tapping into saying, I'm ready. And that's what I had to get. I had to get ready. And I'm glad I did. And then I got rid of all my money. Listen to what I say. Got rid of all my money. I didn't care about money no more. The reason why? Because money did a lot of harm to me. Some people may have a lot of money, and money can do harm to you sometimes, you know, and make you not even be in your right mind. And so you can't have compassion for other people because you're probably loaded with money. But if you ever go back to square one and have that compassion, man, like I've learned, and I'm going to turn it back over to you when I say this. There was a little kid, got off the school bus. This is a true story. A little kid got off the school bus, man, and when he seen me, came over to the car. I was still sitting in the car. He said, how you doing? He said, can I ask you something? And I said, yes. And I just found out he's 9 years old. He said, will you come in and show me how to play basketball? He said those words, man. Could you imagine how I felt? Because he didn't come to remind me how he's watching me selling drugs like I used to. He must have seen me doing something different, and then I agreed to do it. So the long story short, I came back to yesterday, and I went and got with him and showed him a few things according to basketball. So what am I saying? I'm saying compassion is big. If I had all that money that I used to have, I would have missed out on an opportunity like that, man. There's no telling what that kid, and he told me about his grades. He said he's making straight A's. And I didn't ask him about that. He told me. He said, my school is doing good in school. Make straight A's. I got a few B's or something like that. So I'm saying all that to say, man, you don't have to be rich or poor to be able to have compassion. Compassion is a good thing, I would think. All people that's not so fortunate, like less fortunate, I would say. The word says, it gives you an understanding that we then who are strong ought to bear the infirmity of other weak. And not to please ourselves. See, selfishness is a form of bondage.
Right.
Self-centeredness, you know? And so I just thought about it. I wanted to make sure I heard that word correctly, because that got my attention. I was like, man, I used to be of the world. I used to be conformed to the world. I was shaped up with the world. I was doing worldly things. But, man, I'm so glad, man, I took a chance, because I didn't know God.
Right.
I said, well, man, okay, I don't know God. And I just can't sit back and just say everybody don't know him. But I had to get personal with it, man, and I just decided to take a chance. So if you got a person in the presidential seat and you got somebody that's, I don't know what color they have to be. It's only one, not many blacks have been in the presidential seat, I think. And how many white people voted for Trump? How many white people, black people, I mean, is it just one particular color voted for these people? Or it was a mixture?
No.
So it don't have nothing to do with what color they were. If they got that seat, they got that seat. Good or bad, right or wrong, like it or not, I'm not going to be able to say that this is a good one right here and that was a bad one because I don't know that. But somehow or another, it seemed like they saying that Biden guy is a certain kind of way and he's racist. But then I used to hear something about that man called Trump. I heard something about that man named Trump. And you know I'm not big in politics. You know that.
Right.
But I heard something about his people was racist. That they used to be affiliated with the Ku Klux Klan and all those kind of people. That's what I could be wrong. Am I wrong?
Okay. I'm not aware of that, but if that's what you heard, that's what you heard. I mean, you know, hey.
Yeah, I heard something like that. You know what I mean? I heard that. I don't know how true it is, but a lot of times you go on, and, you know, I don't know for sure. I just heard that, and I'm wondering, was that true? So I'm putting it out there to see, had that been said? Because I sure heard somebody say that. And you know how people go to town, they just say things. And that could have been one of them things.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess the only distinction that I was making in my conversation tonight between President Trump and President Biden is before former President Trump became president, he had a history as a shrewd businessman and a New York-style hustler, right? But Joseph Biden, had a almost 50-year history as a House of Representatives, then a senator for the longest, then a vice president, and most recently, they swore him in as president. And when you look at his history, gentlemen, I had someone to recently call me and say, I was just looking online and I ran across a statement you made when you were running for office back in 2018, St. Louis. And they wanted to ask me about a statement that I made. That's been a few years ago now, man. I'm like, what? That's about 3 years ago, man. Why are you worried about it? You understand what I'm saying? The point I'm trying to make is when you got a record, people can follow your record, right?
Well, most of the time, blacks just go about what they hear. They don't do no research. They can't. Then you ever heard of Michelle Alexander?
I'm familiar with her work, body of work.
She wrote the book, New Jim Crow. What did it say about black kids reading?
It didn't.
Well, it said that, what did they say about the number of prison beds that's determined?
Well, she did stipulate that there were a lot of beds, and she did make the point, I see where you're going now, that the educational level at an early grade determines how many. I think that's the point you made. Yeah, I did.
How many prison beds that's needed? They say they tell by the number of black males that can't read at the fourth grade.
Okay.
So if they can't read, how are they going to research Trump? All they can do is go by what they hear. And the people that's telling them these things, they know they can't research. I mean, it's a fact.
But,
not all. It's a fact. What about, wait a minute, Floyd Mayweather?
Uh-huh.
The boxer.
Well, he
can't read. But he can't read.
He got a gym.
Professional football players. Yeah, come out of college and go to the NFL. Basketball, they can't read. Now it's different.
Yeah.
Now it's getting a little bit different. But a lot of them can't, because I'm going to tell you something. I know in some school districts at the high school level, black school districts like Normandy, where the math performance is less than 5% efficient, and about 10% of the high school graduate can't read. They reading at 10%. So how are they going to find out? They can't read the Bible. They can only go by what they're told.
Here's the good news, though, St. Louis. That may have been the case, but under the right circumstances, they can learn how to read.
Right. Yeah, but you're saying the right circumstances. In order to produce the right circumstances, you got to have what? You got to have money.
Well, certainly a change. People got to make a change, man. That's the bottom line.
Now you're saying they got to make a change. But if you're saying they got to make the change, then you're also saying they got to move away from the reality they don't have the money.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though, St. Louis. Here's the thing. That's why I say that. I see what you're saying, but here's why I say that. Because you can go to the library and use public resources that are free. I used to tell students, St. Louis, listen, you need to be preparing for, you know, on the sophomore level. It's not too early for you to be preparing for the ACC, the SAT. Well, I ain't got no – listen. Go to the library. They got plenty of them there. And guess what? You won't have to wait in line because ain't too many people use them. And the
library, apparently that ain't happening. That ain't happening. You know why? Because when you look at the national scores, it's not happening. When you look at what white schools are doing in order to, I don't know what they're doing, when they spot a black child 310 points on the SAT test, even before they start taking the test, they give them, start them off with 310 points ahead of everybody else.
They still come up last.
Now, I'm just telling you what the reality is. And you know you made another point, too.
Okay.
Well, if I am, I wish somebody showed me. But here's another thing, too. You talk about Donald Trump. You remember Jennifer Hudson?
I do.
What happened to her family? Somebody killed members of their family.
Yes.
And those that were left were scared to death. Who was it that put them up to live as long as they needed to and provided security for them? They didn't charge them a dime.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it?
Tell us.
Donald Trump.
Okay. And your point is?
Who was it that he had a flat tire and a black man stopped to help fix the tire? And he came back and he paid the man's mortgage off.
Okay. All right.
Who
things,
was it that you had some black men, and this reminds me of your case, that needed money to start a business? Didn't have a dime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump gave them the money. They went on and started the business and was successful.
Yeah.
And
what they
did, which is unusual, they came back to pay Donald Trump back, give him dime he lent them. You know what he said?
Well, can I say this?
Hey, I got a person right here want to say something, Pastor Doctor.
Ask him to stay right there. Give me 1 second.
Man was getting ready to jump off a bridge and end his life, and he talked to him and brought him back down and helped him to get. Nobody want to talk about the good thing. They all want to talk about the evil thing. I can tell you some more too.
I was going to add a couple of things here that are of a more recent event level, and then we'll go to the call of it. And that was simply that you're right, that when you look at a person's record, then you can make a reasonable measurement of them. Because I understand he gave money to Al Sharpton and his organization. He's given money to Jesse Jackson and Rainbow Push Coalition.
Them two scoundrels.
Hold on, listen, wait a minute, St. Louis, wait a minute. He's given money to the campaigns of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Chuck Schumer. He's given money to a lot of people. Right? So we look at their record, right, and it'll speak for itself. That's your point. I take your point.
The heck with what he done gave people, look at his policies.
Okay.
His policy on trade, foreign terrorists, on Make America Great Again, the fact that by 2030 you're going to need 4.5 million workers in manufacturing, because he sat down and said bring them manufacturing jobs back to the United States.
Okay.
The defense.
Right.
It just goes on and on. Taxes. It goes on and on and on.
You've established your point. I take your point. Let me, 1 second, Senator. Pastor Wallace, is the caller still there?
Yeah, I got someone I was talking to. Yeah, I'm right here. Yeah,
go ahead.
You on talk straight, brother. And this is the brother right here that said something about, he just asked me what I was talking about, and I was just letting him know what he was talking about. And then hearing about the politics thing, and Donald Trump. And, wait a minute, you said it was what, brother?
White supremacy.
Who was white supremacy?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. About how long ago when you say he was about what?
When he was president, he was like that.
But did you say he come up young? What you say about when he was young?
Young
okay.
18 and 19.
About 18 and 19. So okay, I just
man, get this fool off there. Ask him where.
Wait a minute. Hold up. I'm talking to Pastor Doctor. Hold up. I just wanted to know, brother. I know you wanted to know what we were talking about. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And you said that, right? Okay. So, go ahead,
Pastor
Doctor.
What I want to do, to be fair in the conversation, is I'd like to give the gentleman an opportunity to speak freely himself and validate what he's saying.
I would like to ask him a question.
Hold on.
But he don't want to talk to you. He's going to talk to Pastor Doctor right now.
Yeah? Well, he's talking. Well, Pastor Docket, I'm going to hang up, and I'll call back in about 5 minutes.
That's
but I want to hear it.
That's
okay.
That's your choice. So, Pastor, for the sake of our conversation, what I would do is to engage the gentleman, if he's open to that, in a conversation.
Yeah.
Now, he made a statement, and for the sake of all of our listening audience, even those who are not calling in, who are following us, let's offer some context for what we're saying. Is the gentleman still there?
Yeah, he's here.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure he get a chance to talk.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
What now?
Yes.
All right. I wanted to ask him, when you were saying that when he was president and that he was racist, can you tell us a little bit about where you come about that information? What did you base that on, and what? You know, how did you frame that position for the sake of our listening audience?
Yeah, I think, I'm going to give it back to him in just a second, because I know what he was just saying, because he heard his opinion, because the guy never said anything about how he knew that Biden was that way, but he said it. You see what I'm saying? So now I'm on this conference call, and the guy came up to me. He wanted to say something to me. But here you go. He's back over here now. What would you say? He wanted to know if you could kind of validate some of that what you was talking about, about how you got
tell
that.
How did you come to that position?
Okay. He backed up when he got into politics. Okay. He can't hear you. You say he backed up what?
He backed up.
Okay.
You know,
talking this
whole. What he believed and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Who backed up?
Trump
backed up from what?
From talking about that, because they already knew what he was, you know what I'm saying? But what he's doing now, because of politics, backed up.
He backed up. Oh, I think he's saying, Pastor Doctor, that he backed up from it because he was into politics or something like that. So I don't know.
But
it was just a conversation that they was bringing up about it, and he just wanted to know if he had some clarity on it, you know.
Yeah.
Because I had heard something like that myself, but I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Well,
I'm not big on politics, nobody, so I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, one thing you don't have to do. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Was he trying to say something else?
You want to say something else?
No.
Oh, no. He said he's good. He said he was good.
All right. So, Pastor, I'm talking to you now. I made the statement that you can look at both of those individuals, Joseph Biden and Donald John Trump, and you can look at their past histories and draw your own conclusion for yourself. As a student of American history, I'm familiar personally with many of legislative things that Joe Biden, as a senator, as a vice president, were aligned with. things that he voted for, things that he promoted, and other individuals that he aligned himself with and around. And that's what I base mine on, is you can look at his record, go to US.gov, and you can look up the history of senators, their votes, and things that they voted on. That's what I'm basing mine on. And then you can go and look up some of the comments, public comments or statements. Just like I was telling you about myself, I put out some public statements as a political candidate, and this gentleman was able to read those and 3 years, almost 4 years later, ask me a question about it. But guess what didn't change, Pastor? My answer didn't change. My answer didn't change.
Yeah.
My answer still the same.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? The point I'm making
is I remember.
You know
one
history.
One of them did what,
Pastor? I'm sorry. Say that again.
You say one of them did what?
I was saying that a gentleman. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. I was just making the point that like Biden and Trump, that everybody has, when you're in the public sphere, you have a record, basically. And people can go check your record and draw a conclusion from it. Somebody questioned me about a position I wrote formally when I was a political candidate 3 years ago. And my answer didn't change. My answer didn't change because I was serious about that then. But I understand. I appreciated him calling and inquiring about that. Oddly enough, he still had my phone number. That was the same number I had then. You understand what I'm saying? He called me on that number.
Right.
So my point is that it's not about Trump or Biden. I really, that's immaterial about what people need to do in terms of for themselves. Because neither one of them going to do anything for you.
What do you say, neither one? What do you say? Neither one of them.
That's the truth.
Hey.
Personally.
Well, see?
Personally.
See, I remember you saying that. Because, you know, I ain't big. I'm not big on it because I don't know nothing about it. But, I know I had heard stuff like that, you know. And a lot of times when you hear things and that's all you're going on, you know, just let that be known. I just heard it. I don't know how true it is. And that's the thing about it. So when they make known of these particular ones and said, but the blacks did this and the blacks didn't do that, I'm like, wait a minute, hold it. You mean tell me just the blacks voted for them? You know, and they didn't vote for Trump. Black people vote for him too? You know, so I'm just trying to find out what is the importance of that, you know, because I know he made mention about the blacks this, the blacks that, and the blacks is not this and the blacks is not that. What is the motive about the blacks not being something every time you turn around? And then as soon as you make mention about something, you run, you duck, you dodge, you hide. Like it's something happened. I mean, you know, be real, just talk straight. And when you're talking straight, talk straight and don't raise up off of it. Like you just said, your answer didn't change with what you said. And that's just the way it is. It ain't nothing to do with being right or wrong. It's just your answer did not change. And that's your rights. But as soon as this brother came on and said what he said, he wanted to take over your show.
Yeah, well, you know that.
You can't do that, man.
You know that.
You can't take over nobody's show because
you know
that somebody. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. And then ran because he felt like, well if I can't take over the show, I'm just going to get off the phone.
We're giving too much time to him. We're giving too much attention to him.
So here you go, right here. You just want to tell him thank you, brother, for letting you have a word because we got to get back into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you want to tell him thank you, brother, for just.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah, right. So we're going to get back into what we were talking about. Okay, Pastor Doctor, so talk to us, man.
You're listening to Talk Straight. Tonight, our topic is have an open mind, but keep your brain in your head. And really what we've been talking about is okay to hear other people's suggestions, their ideas, their recommendations. But ultimately, you have to make a conscious choice and decision using your own brain. If you allow someone else to do that for you, you set yourself up in a position where they're controlling your thoughts. They're controlling.
Yeah, you made that plain, too. You sure did. You made that plain, man. You're about controlling your brain.
And that's one of the things that is, that's a beautiful thing and well said. You know, on Talk Straight, you say, this is what it's about. You know, you have a right to come on and you have a right to talk. So in the midst of it all, I wanted to get back into what you was talking about that powerful scripture that you brought forth, man. And how many times, you know, can we look at that scripture and find ways to say there is a world's way and there is a holy way? I mean, that's what I got out of it. It's like, be conformed. Don't be that way. Don't you do that. In other words, if you want to be holy, you can't be conformed to this world. I wonder if that's what he's talking about.
Pastor, allow me to draw a connection between tonight's topic and the text that I shared, if you don't mind. Because that's what I'm hearing.
Go ahead.
We're talking about, essentially, from the topic, have an open mind. And what I mean by that is, in the world we live in society, there are a lot of things, there are a lot of people who are doing different things. That doesn't mean you have to do all of them, right? So how do you choose what is good and profitable and beneficial for you? That's what, but keep your brain in your head. And verse 2 talks about basically being transformed by the renewing. And when we talk about renewing in this particular text, if you exegete it, you will find that to be renewed is to change and take a different position, a different tack, a different direction, right? When an individual's mind is strong and thinks independent of itself based on what they know and what they're confident in, it's not easy for someone else to take their idea, their opinion, and to guide, control, or manipulate you. And that's what our subject matter is tonight, which is why we use Romans 12, 1 and 2 in relationship to our topic tonight. Have an open mind. Put your brain in your head. At the end of the day, don't let nobody control your brain. Your brain, I described the seven functions of the brain. One of them is that you have to be able to be organized. You got to be clear. You have to be able maintain your own ability to communicate, to concentrate, to have the right persona, and to be flexible and things of that nature. If somebody else is controlling your thought and your actions, you can't do that. Especially adults. You do that to children. You don't do that to adults. But adults have the right, and certainly in the United States of America, you have that free right to life, liberty, and happiness to define those things for yourself. That's the correlation between the text and the topic. All right. But we're about at the bottom of the hour here. We got about another 30 minutes or so before we wrap up tonight. And we've been talking again from that topic, have an open mind, but keep your brain in your head. And one of the things that informed this discussion was this past Tuesday night, we had an open mic session, and typically we allow the floor of the conversation to take itself from those who are on with us. And some of the people were talking about the mandates for vaccines and masks and things of that nature. And yes, I'm all for all of us as a country, as a nation, looking out for the health and well-being of everybody. But at some point, as an adult, you have to decide what's best for you and what you're going to do. And anytime the government or anybody tells you that they know better what you need than you do, something wrong with that. That dog will not hunt. No. You got a poodle out there trying to chase rabbits and squirrels. You need you a hound dog or a Labrador retriever. You understand what I'm saying? Definitely don't try to run up on no deers. That's going to be a problem. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation. 657-383-0944. Pastor Waller, St. Louis has rejoined us here. St. Louis, we've moved on a little bit in our conversation, and I'd like to just bring this thought to the floor in relation to our general topic. As we look at the future, I talked about how this is September the 30th. Man, this year is just about gone, right? As we look at the future, what is it that conversations concern individuals, people that have resources that they may want to give, some people may not want to, but those who do, how can we focus those things in a way? I talk about young people because I believe, gentlemen, that it's the responsibility of those of us that have reached a certain age. We just going to have to figure it out ourselves. I'm of the tact that we should take the resources that we have and give young people a chance to avoid the mistakes that I made and others made. That's my first.
Yeah, but what year, at what point in their life are you going to do that?
I believe
the resources that you say the resources that we have, can you give us a general idea of what you're talking about, what resource? You know, I'm going to tell you something. People that's on aid and welfare, I don't think that they should vote, and I'm going to tell you why. Because what they would do, naturally, they're going to vote for the politics that's going to support them, not only with what they got to have it for a longer time, but also to get more. And ultimately, what that does, you take it from others to give to them. I mean, that's what it is.
You do know that's not the way the law is structured, right? Even though you don't
I think that's the way it should be, because I think it would help people to hurry up and try to get out of the predicament that they're in so they can regain full privileges of the country.
Let me offer a case study to what you're saying. I believe it was 1995. This was still when Clinton was the president, Bill Clinton, and Newt Gingrich was the speaker. They came up with a welfare reform program. It was designed to wean people off of welfare, right? And it worked in tandem with the housing, the urban development housing. And basically what it was it said, is that we will give you welfare, but you have to be working, and by so many years you should have went to school and you should have attained gainful employment. Well, that only worked as long as you didn't have any more children, because when you got a new child, you got more time. And what they discovered is that it didn't work because individuals kept on falling into the loopholes that gave them a reason not to.
Well, listen to what you just said. Pay attention. You said they have more children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where is the father?
That's a whole other issue. My point.
Well, no,
it
can't be. But wait a minute, Reuben. See, we like to put this off. It can't be another issue. It has to be the issue at hand. You are having more children so that you can get more money off of welfare, rather than doing what you made mention, Doctor, that the program was designed to do.
Doctor, yes. Now, what my point that I was making, sir, is that even though this program was set up, this government program, it failed largely because it had loopholes in it. And irregardless of its loopholes, and Clinton and Newt Gingrich and the others that came up with it, the reality was, unless the people are involved in that planning, it's not going to work, because that's not you make the point that the missing element was the father of the biological progenitor of the children, right? That was a missing element. Since 1999, I've been preaching and pushing responsible fatherhood. Since 1999.
But it don't happen.
So, well,
and where is your black politicians?
Hold on. You don't see it happening where it is happening, because the news media is not going to portray it. They're not going to blow that up. But there are some individuals.
Well, it don't happen in great enough numbers.
And taking care of their business. I agree with that, and that's the work that as a community, as a neighborhood of people, we have to do.
Let me help you out a little bit. Let me show you how you can help that to come to fruition real quick. You know what that is?
I'm listening. I'm listening.
Don't give them nothing. Because when they get hungry enough, they're going to come to terms and sit down and say, yes, let's try this out. But if you feeding them, like some of these crazy parables I hear, feeding people without any accountability whatsoever, they just going to misuse the system because they ain't paying for it. It's the others that's paying for it, quote unquote. The people like to say, and no matter how much money you get, they got money to pay for them programs because the government is taking it through taxation. And guess what? I just mentioned a key word there, government. Government is people that have been elected. So those that's on the receiving end are going to continue to elect those people in order so that they can maintain their status.
What seems unfair about what you're saying or unrealistic is that you seem to be painting a large group of people with one brush. Who specifically, who are you saying they that are going to vote because they got free money?
The ones that you just got through saying would have more babies and more babies and more babies. And you know what else, too? Let me tell you something else that go on. You know it goes on in the family. They talk amongst each other and say, well, this year you can carry Malik on your taxes and I carry him on my taxes next year. What does that sound like to you? And you know, and you know it goes on now, don't you?
Now, how do you know that that goes on? Did someone tell you that?
I know people who have done it and doing it.
So these are people, these are real people that share that with you. Okay. Now,
they're not in Little Red Riding Hood's fairy book. They're real people, and we know it goes on.
So here's the thing. Knowing that, what would be, now you've already made it clear to us, St. Louis, that you're good, you've taken care, you work hard, you develop yourself. So that's probably not a good question for me. In fact, I won't even ask.
You can answer. I have yet to see something I can't handle, but go ahead and answer.
No. You've already made it clear that you're not going to do anything for anyone that fits the description that you just gave. You've made that clear.
No, I do it for the ones. I do it for the other ones. That's a fact.
I've learned to accept you to believe what you say. I believe you believe that. I believe that's where you are.
Yeah.
And I
do it for the ones that walk the straight and narrow. The ones that go to bed on time and get up early in order so that they can be on time and learn what they got to learn.
Yes, sir, we got it. And so back in the connection to what we're talking about, having an open mind, I do believe that in the zeitgeist of this moment, of this point of this period in our society, that there are some legitimate claims to people hurting, people wanting, people are in need. Now, but the question is, when you use your own mind, how do you use your mind to fix your own sorrow, to solve your own problem, to renew yourself in such a way that you're not the same way next year? That's why I was asking the question, as we move forward out of 2021, how do individuals, that's what I'm, the next 21 minutes, that's what I'd like to try to talk about, what are some ways that anybody who wants can move past this experience right now.
I'm going to say this, and I told you that I think those that's in a certain situation shouldn't vote. But guess what? I'm going to take it a little bit further. Because they that you're voting for, and we can name what they stand for, they want to take from somebody and give to somebody else. Okay, that's perfectly fine. But guess what? When you do that, those that we were working with, we're going to stop working for them. You know why? Because the discretionary funds we had has been taken from us through yet more taxation, so we ain't got no more. We surely ain't going to take out of our kids' mouth. We're not going to take out of our wives' mouth. We're not going to discomfort ourselves because that wouldn't be fair. So what they do is actually vote against themselves.
Give me a proactive measure, St. Louis, if you don't mind. Give me your best shot at a proactive measure to change something in a productive way. Can you do that for me?
Once things is already going, it's very difficult.
But if
you're
going to
have some kids, if you're going to have some kids, you make sure you can take care of them. And then when you take care of them, you do what you can do to make sure they don't end up like the stories that we hear. Don't let your kids see. You want to keep your children away from dysfunctionality. I don't care if it's even within your own family. Because kids are influenced by it.
Right.
I want more. I want some candy.
Okay.
I want these $160 Jordans.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to the basketball court. It's just 8 o'clock. Do I have to come in now?
Right. So you know the problem.
See,
with that, though,
well, you got those that's doing that. More than likely, then you go into further examination, and you see what their performances is in the areas where they should be performing. They ain't performing.
Right. Well, you know
right?
how difficult it is. You know how difficult it is for a parent to tell a young child who lives in an environment where everybody got expensive shoes, got expensive cell phones and other gadgets, to tell them what you can't have. You know what that does to the child psychologically and emotionally?
It didn't do it to mine.
But we're not talking about...
Now, go ahead.
We're not talking
about... Well, I don't know nobody else's.
Go to Pastor Wallace.
I don't know nobody else's.
Let me pause you right there and let me go to Pastor Wallace. What do you think that does to a child, Pastor, who sees everyone else with these things and they're told you can't have it, even though the rest of your peers, when you go to school, you go outside, you walk around, everybody else got it but you. What mentally, psychologically, Pastor, do you know what that does to a child?
Make them feel alone, I'm sure, man. Being distracted from, you know, the joy that could be exercise, because, you know, the word does talk about exercise, you know what I mean, it's really, really good for you, because the bodily exercise, you know, profits you a little, and so that's not a bad thing, but the holiness of all of it, you know, it prospers you very much, man, and no matter what's going on, I think the beauty of it is that walking in holiness is a big-time thing now for those that actually speaking his will. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about what you said about the mind, and it doesn't take much to mislead a person by what they hear and like you said, about what they see out there. So when the kids are out there playing, I mean, it's amazing, man, that kids can be out there playing, then you're sitting back watching the wonder, should I go over there and play with them or should I not? When it's recess time, right? You know, you got your own mind. So, you know, somebody's been feeding you certain things. They feed you certain things. But when you get in school and they tell you to look at this person like this, and, you know, when it looks like they're having fun, but you're sitting back going on what your parents told you, and they wanted you to look at them in a certain way. You know what I mean? Look at them while they – make sure they look like they're down, even if they're up. If they're a certain color, make sure they look at them like they're down. And see, you know, that's a terrible thing, man. I mean, and it's still going on today. And we're talking about it's been many years ago, and it's still happening. But that compassion is big. I didn't know anything about it by way of it being in the Bible, but I was so glad when I was able to see it in there, because it made me realize, man, there's a lot of hurting people. And the word said, we being who are strong. That means that if you're not strong, you can't handle this. Bad infirmity of the week, because I think you're big on that, Pastor Doc. I mean, that's your thing. You know, having compassion on people. I mean, you could have automatically just said, because your son and your daughter, you know, very smart, you know, you brought them up right, you know what I mean? And all that is so beautiful. But your heart, man, is so into, you know, being compassionate on others. So I can't help but to say, keep up the good work, man.
Well, so at the end of, I appreciate that, but at the end of the day, here's the bottom line. This is what this forum started as and for, you know, to offer answers and solutions. And in 2021, as we walk out of it, tomorrow will be October. right? And at the end of the day, when we finish it and we go into January of 2022, I believe that there needs to be a renewing of people's mentality and mindset. Preachers, teachers, other individuals of, in places of influence ought to be encouraging people. Don't worry about what happened in 2020. Don't allow what even happened in 21 to distract you from what you need to do in 2022 for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
For yourself.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
For yourself. And if you, you right, if you're good and the man or woman next to you are good, guess what? We can all find some success there. We can move on. But
and that's the key. You just said it right there. That the man and woman next to you, that's why I come, you put your child in environments where the children come from like-minded parents. You don't want to just put your child anywhere. You put them in those environments of like-minded parenting. That's why come I told you the politics don't want to let them kids go. They want to keep them in that environment, whereas everybody, people will put more emphasis in the price of the shoes that the child is wearing rather than the information that's going in their head. So if a child is coming from a functional family, and I ain't going to say all families not functional, but the data
right.
says what it says, that a child coming from a functional family, they don't belong in that environment. They need to be in a like-minded, a like environment where they come from. And there are environments out there that exist. My grandson went to a school like that.
Okay.
My daughter
okay.
did too.
Here's what I see happening, gentlemen. I anticipate that people who historically have been really not concerned and not paying attention to these types of issues in terms of them taking control of the environment that their children grow up in and resources for them, public resources, I think many of them are going to begin to use the legal system to push back on the control and the limit and the limiting that they had to certain opportunities. And I believe that may be a good thing because it'll stop individuals in positions of government from insisting that they accept whatever they receive. Now, there are some people who can't read and can't write, but they want their children to learn how to. So they expect the school system, they expect the social service, they expect those who they pay taxes to make sure that those things are working and functional so that their children can have a better outcome and experience of what they have. And that's what I mean by moving in 2022.
And if that's
focused,
another.
Hold on, let me finish up. If we're focused mm-hmm. on what it is we expect as an outcome for ourselves and our families and our children, collectively, that's something that you can hold others to account who are in positions of influence to see to those things happen. That's some proactive stuff that you can do moving into 2020.
Yeah.
Now, what were you trying to say, Daniel?
Hey, Pastor.
I'm going to say
I was
going
to
say, you can't depend on those people you elected because they're not going to do it. You got to make it happen yourself. I give you one good example. Well, Pastor, you asked me a question. Well, tell me what you want me to say.
I want you to consider that, no, you can't make them do right, but you can vote them out. That's the answer to that. Go ahead.
Well, but you can't vote. But in many cases, you can't vote out school board members, right?
No, that's not true. That's the point of voting.
No, in cases, in every state, you can't vote out. You can't recall school board men. I'm sorry, you can vote them out, but you can't recall them. But
you
got to wait 4 years until they serve their term. It's four years of your child that went down the drain. You want to get them out right away.
No, I hear you. We do have a recall here in Tennessee. That's what I'm really speaking of. We do have a recall for board members here.
Yeah, but they don't have them in every state.
I got you. Go ahead, though. And then we'll go to Pasquale. What was the rest of your
question? Yeah, so that's what the thing that – that's the way that I think that, I wish people would consider on the change. You should get rid of them librarians, too. If they putting in books that is contrary – to your belief. I was just looking at this one school district where they clean out the library of books like 1984 books.
Okay.
They even cleaning out Bibles and biblical books, taking them out. Ban Books Week, Help Libraries Fight Parents. That's the name of the title. So parents got a right to do that. If they don't want certain books in for their children to be exposed to, they got a right to say, we want this out of here. And that's a good thing.
Okay. Hold one second. Let me pass. What were you going to say, sir? We got about 9 minutes here.
You remember your son, I kind of got really joyful about the thought of when he came down into the park. And he had those kids, you know, the compassion that he showed. Now, you know, your son is very smart. I mean, to another level. But let me tell you, man, the heart that he had for those kids, brother, I'm witnessing it. I mean, how excited he got. Look at he got down on their level so deep. And he seen the love, man, that he saw them kids have by way of getting back into what he wanted them to do. You know, it took a little time, and all of a sudden they got in the groove with it. You remember that? Look here, man. The groove, brother, that those kids got
from your son.
Now, he could have said, oh, I'm too smart for y'all. I don't want y'all to hear what I got to say because, you know, you can't handle this, what I'm about. I'm a very smart individual. No. Man, that man had such a love for them kids, man. You can see the joy in them kids. Man, I still got the little clips of it. Them kids got so excited, man. And then he would tell one of them, he said, now you do this. And all of a sudden, the little kid got in the groove, and he started doing it. And then the next one, oh, man. Man, I ain't seen nothing like it, man. I just wanted to make sure. Now, see where he got it from, brother. He got that from you, man.
You know, he had to. Let me share this with you in St. Louis. St. Louis talks about NESB, which is a engineering group, black engineering group. He's back in the Cleveland area now working, and he has been on campus with NESB St. Louis and they have already targeted young people in the Cleveland area from the housing area, and they're planning as to how they may work with them throughout the school year, basically. So.
You need more than that. You got too much emphasis on sports. You need more emphasis on academics. Like I told you before, you won't see the kids I'm talking about. And of course, you ain't gonna see them on no football field 8:30 at night, and then no basketball 8:30 at night. They're gonna be by time to go to bed. You know, I sat down one time. I was at an awards one time. Because I volunteered for high school baseball, T. Carnahan. And I was supposed to receive an award, make it real quick. Because we sitting at the table with some other parents, and we was talking about college. And I told them how much studying your child has to do in order to keep up. You know, it's typical. How many credit hours did your son carry a year? About 12, 15? Well, if I carry 12... You got to carry at least 12 to be a full-time student. But if you're carrying 12, and especially if you're taking up some hard majors, well, you're going to require at least 3 hours a week per credit hour. That's 36 hours. I told one lady that. You know what she told me?
I ain't going to be having my son do all that.
So them the ones, wait a minute. Them the ones you leave alone. Let them go by their business. Because one thing, you surely ain't going to be working with her child. She don't want you to. She already don't told you you ain't. And the most important thing is this. I cannot love your child more than you do. And will not.
Consider this, though, Doc. Consider this. What if you would have took your arm and put it around and said, okay, it sounds like it's hard. But it's doable. You think she would have changed her attitude then?
I couldn't get my arm around that big woman.
I'm gone somewhere, man. There you go, boy. See? Okay. you understand what I'm trying to say, sir? Yes.
It ain't going to work, Doc. It ain't going to work.
Well, if you don't try.
Now, I tell you what. I got your number here. I'm going to start sending them to you.
That you can, and what I can do for them, I will. What I can't, I'll let them know.
All right, I'm going to send them to you.
But watch this. Well, here's the trick, St. Louis. Here's the trick. More importantly, it's not what I can do for them, but what they can do for themselves. And the best
well,
I
good.
Can do
well,
is
if you can convince them, maybe you can convince them the way to go. But anyway, you've got time to get off from here. 8:55.
Well, look, I appreciate it. Appreciate your time, man. But yeah, we're gonna wrap up our conversation there. We've been talking about the topic, having an open mind. Do that. Be open, but make sure you keep control of your own thoughts, your own actions, your own heart, your own drive. Don't let nobody else have that. No doctor, no preacher, no lawyer, no teacher, no politician, nobody. They don't deserve to have your mind. That's yours. God gave it to you. He gave it to you, and he expects you to use it. You understand what I'm saying? That's the end of our discussion. Pastor Waller is going to wrap us up for tonight and take us home. We don't need no spaceship to take us home because he got the microphone. Pastor Waller said,
hey, man, it's been, listen here, Pastor Dobby. I tell you, it's been a night, man, and I enjoy, you know, the way you carry out, and I want you to know that you have a right to continue to be encouraged. You know, the Bible is real, it's strong, it's powerful, and it will draw you or it will drive you. That's why the Bible says in the book of James, chapter number 4 and verse 7, it says, submit yourself unto God.
Resist the devil, and he
will flee from you. That's what the word says. So he'll flee from you. But then he said, draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. So I'm saying that according to the word of God, man, I think we need to continue to make sure that we keep God first and know that it would be available in time to see the power of God fall fresh on somebody that's having doubts in their mind. You just never know who it may be, but we got to keep on keeping on because the word of God is faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Keep speaking to Pastor Doctor, keep putting it out there because that's the way it's supposed to be carried out. I yield back
to
you on that note.
I thank you for being who you are and doing what you do, man. We're going to keep on. You kick them and I fight them. Before long, we have the same goal.
That's the way we got to do it, brother. It's better that way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That ends another month, Pastor Waller, and soon another year.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You, man. Thank you. And we'll be back next Tuesday in October for another show. Pastor Waller will likely be sitting in for us on next Thursday night, Lord willing. So look forward to having some dynamic discussion there. Want you to tune in with us there on next Thursday. But we'll see you Tuesday night for another episode of Talk Straight. Let your mind be free. And if you do that, a lot of things can work for you. We'll see you on next another episode of Talk Straight.
Let my mind. If we free our mind.